This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Open the door and step inside to a world of practical magic, where we blend the mystical and mundane worlds of the everyday witch. Presented by Wise Woman Witchery and hosted by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis.
Welcome to The Witch Next Door. I'm Emily, and this week I'm flying solo, coming at ya by myself. Veronica will be back next week, and I just wanted to still take some time to check in with y'all and talk a little bit about ceremony and ritual, and how this can be a lot simpler than we might think, and how we might use it. And I'm going to use some examples from my own life in these last few months to illustrate those points. So often in the witchery realm, we talk about doing ritual, creating some type of ceremony. And I know when I first embarked on my witchcraft practice, I really saw that as like, ooh, ritual. We're going to get dressed up and we're going to be out under the full moon with our cloaks. There'll be blood. There'll be... I don't know what I thought. I thought it was something wild. You know, we'll be making some magic, and I don't know exactly what that looks like, but it's probably going to be pretty theatrical. And I know Veronica and I have talked before about how it doesn't have to be theatrical. Ritual can be, but it can also be really simple. I also know that ceremony is something that we often let go from our lives when things get busy, when they get hectic, when stuff's going on. We can let our practices go by the wayside and not connect in as we might otherwise. So a couple things have happened for me in these last few months, and I've been really finding my way back to ritual and ceremony in different ways, in different aspects, I guess, for myself. And I wanted to share those things with you because it's just a good reminder that we can come back to ceremony at any time, and that it can really bring healing with it, and help us not just reconnect to the world outside of ourselves, but also to ourselves, our inner realms, and to process things that we might not be able to process otherwise. So I want to start by saying that for the last several years, working with the Diving Deeper membership group that I run, I have been hosting these full and new moon ceremonies every month for 3-4 years. Every month I would tune into what was happening astrologically, tune into what was happening energetically, and then I would create a ritual around that. Often they relied heavily on meditations or journeys, but sometimes there were fun crafts or drawing, art, movement, all kinds of things would come into play in that ritual space. And that was all done via Zoom. So this year, as we came to the end of the year, I lost two people who were very close to me. One of them was my mother-in-law, and the other one was a very, very dear friend. And they both died in December. And I had been starting to feel pretty burnt out prior to that, just in life. And I usually, it happens to me, friends, because I am a workaholic. So I often will get burnt out. It's not an unfamiliar place for me to go. But I usually take a vacation then, rejuvenate, come back, reassess, and promise I'm never going to do it again. And then, you know, eventually end up doing, getting myself overworked again. But in this particular instance, because these people were ill and dying, I did not get a break when it was time. And then they died, and my next break did not happen. So there was all of this burnout happening for me, and I decided I needed to pare back a little bit. And the place I pared back were those moon ceremonies. I decided not to do them anymore and just shift the membership group so that people had access to replays of old rituals, but I wasn't going to be doing them live. And this felt like a really good decision for me at the time. But by mid-January, I was kind of missing my connection to the lunar cycle. Because what I had discovered that was by creating those ceremonies for people every month, I was participating in them. I was tracking the moon too. I was much more tuned in to what was happening. And the second I set that aside and it no longer became a thing I needed to do for someone else, I stopped doing it for myself. Now, granted, there was a different set of circumstances there happening in my personal life that definitely added to that setting down of this ceremony, of that magic in my life. But that being said, I started realizing I didn't even know where the lunar cycle was. Was it waxing or waning? Did we just have a full moon? So January was like this weird, longest month I've ever been in kind of experience. And it was, you know, covered in grief and also lots of details because there was a lot to manage around closing down an estate. But in addition to that, was also just this loss of magic and also not having a women's circle for the first time in a really long time. So there were all these components of just not having ritual in my life. I wasn't creating it and I wasn't receiving it. That being said, when February rolled around, I thought, I've got to start tuning back into this. And so I started doing little things. Little things like, okay, it's a new moon today. I'm going to pull a card and write down my intention for this cycle, and I'm going to light this candle while I do it. So super simple, really small, but doing something intentionally. It's a full moon today. I'm going to take a bath. And I'm going to really just feel into my body and what do I need right now, and creating ceremony out of that bath, right? Adding the things that smell really delicious, using that bath bomb you'd been saving for a special occasion. And yes, I do save bath bombs for special occasions, but then I realized that every occasion in the bath is really a special occasion. So I made a point to begin to do these things for myself, to really try to take some time for me and make that time intentionally connected to the lunar cycle. Now, March rolled around Anyway, I decided I was going to host a new moon circle. I guess it was March. And so I sent out a text to a bunch of friends and said, hey, you want to come over and do this new moon ceremony with me in my backyard? And some of them were witchy, some not so witchy. And three people showed up. I think I invited like 13, but like three people showed up. And we had this beautiful ceremony just together. And some of it was kind of impromptu added in. But the amazingness of being with other people in ritual just came back to me in such a rush, and the power of that, of being witnessed and being a witness, which I feel like is so much of the medicine and magic as well. So I did it again the next month, and this time there were eight of us. And fun fact, I happened to be talking to my neighbor in her kitchen and noticed she had a witch clock in her kitchen. I may have mentioned this on another podcast, and if I did, forgive me for being a repeater. But if I didn't, I noticed it, and I mentioned just off the cuff that I happened to teach witchcraft on the interwebs. And we started talking, and it turns out she's pretty darn magical herself. And so I invited her to come over for this last new moon ritual and this coming one as well. And she told me that our other neighbor actually happens to be of the witchy persuasion. So I was like, what is happening? We have like all these witches on this blog that I didn't even know existed. So that was pretty cool. I guess the moral of that brief sidebar is just, you never know where we're lurking. So it's good to keep your eyes open for clues and then say hello when you do find them, or casually drop a hint around your own witchery practice to see how it's received. Anyway, so I have gone from feeling the deep absence of ritual around connecting with the lunar cycles to now having that back as a placeholder. And I imagine, as with all things, people will come and go. It will ebb and flow. And I might not feel like doing it some months, and other months I might, or I've offered my space and said, if anybody else wants to facilitate this, that's great. You know, you can use my space or yours, but there's room for you. So there's something really powerful in that. And in coming back to that practice in an intentional way for myself, not just for other people. Like, yes, I'm inviting people in, but it had to start with me doing it for myself. And, you know, I don't know where this will lead as far as what I offer in my community, but I do miss connecting with the people in my community through these rituals as well. So who knows? Maybe it'll come back around at some point. The second part of ceremony I want to bring in really pertains to how you can make ceremony out of anything. So I was just talking about really specific making a ceremony for the new moon, for the full moon, really being intentional about that. But there's other ways to bring ceremony into your day-to-day. And I want to talk about loss and grief here. So I lost my mother-in-law and my very good friend on the same day in December. They had both been sick and they both passed on the same day, of course. So that day goes down in history as not my favorite day, for sure. Anyway, what is true is that my husband losing his mom was really painful for him. And I wanted to be able to support him. And then there were all of the detail-y things we had to deal with as well. So there was a lot of navigating that. And in the process of that, I didn't make a lot of space and time for my grief about losing my friend. I took that time when I was exercising. I'd do a lot of yelling and screaming and crying. I'd have, you know, random breakdowns in the dark in the morning before he got up. Or in my car. But what I decided to do, and I did this for myself and also in honor of my friend. Back in 2011, I had started running, and I ran for many years and continued up until even recently to run off and on, but not seriously, not long distances like I had been doing early before. I think sometime in like 2014, I quit, 2015. Anyway, I quit running races and just kept it to like 3 miles at a time. But I decided I need to run. I need to get back out on the trails. I used to trail run and I love running on trails. There's nothing more exhilarating than like pounding up a hill and then pounding down it and just going for it. And when I first met my friend who passed away, I remember her telling me that she had been running and she would run 3 loops around her neighborhood every day. And At the time I thought, you're crazy. I don't even know how you do that. I could never do that. And this was, you know, quite a few years ago. This was 18 years ago or something. So I always remembered that. And then when I started running, she was like, see, but I took it definitely like next level than where she was at, because apparently I like to do everything next level in case y'all didn't realize that yet. Anyway, when I was first running, my dad died, and it was the way I ran through my grief. I would go up into our park here, Annadel State Park, and I would run and I would cry. And sometimes I would scream. And sometimes I would have to sit down on the trail and just sob till I could catch my breath and start going again. And there was something really, really freaking sacred about being on the land in that way and being able to let the earth hold my grief. And I decided I needed that again. I needed that for myself. So I signed up for a training group and a 10K and started trail running in January. And the 10K was at the beginning of April. So that's done now, but I'm still running. But up there in the park, I remember, I think the second time I was up there, maybe it was the first, I just remember pounding on that trail, my feet bam, 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 and thinking, this is how I heal. This is how I heal. This is how I heal. Thank you, body. Thank you, body. This is how I heal. And I cried. I had to stop a couple times and make some sounds to clear my diaphragm because it was so tight from the grief that was living in it. And that weekly trail run, in addition to my trail, my other runs during the week, trail and street, became these rituals of grief. And I would dress myself. And as I was getting dressed, be thinking about my friend and my mother-in-law. I mean, I had definitely had grief about her passing as well. But there was a lot of room for that grief, and there wasn't as much for my friend. So my grief ritual became running again, and it was intentional and it was true. And there was space for laughter and there was space for tears. And pretty soon I didn't have to cry as much. And pretty soon I started to feel a little lighter. And I still miss my friend so much. And I'm sure that I always, always will. But I feel like, yeah, I will, because I'm sitting here talking about it and I feel like I'm going to start crying, just so y'all know. But I feel like that ceremony, that running ceremony, was the medicine that I needed to move through my grief. And those moon ceremonies were the medicine I needed to come back to those rhythms of and cycles of the moon and the cycles within my body. Just and that connection to the cosmos, in addition to the connection to the planet. So if you've been listening for a while, then you know I love to track seasons, and it's something that I do, you know, as part of my spiritual path. And that's another way that I'm bringing ritual in, is really tracking the seasons. Right now we're in spring, and I started feeling it coming in hard in February. Spring was showing up, and just really starting to feel into, what is that like to begin to quicken? What is that like to begin to bloom? And using these themes, I actually created a group, a spring circle, where we're doing ritual and exercises and activities around these themes. And I bring this to you because this is something you can do for yourself. You know, if you're feeling like ceremony and ritual are missing in your life and you're wanting to cultivate that, even if it's just for you, you can start to pick up on the themes. Maybe you follow the lunar cycle and you start to do some ceremony around the new and full moon energies. Or maybe you start to, you know, tune into what's happening with the season and the energy and the themes that come with that. And you start to create little rituals around those. You know, maybe you want to work with deities. And so you start to pick a deity and work with one for a month or longer. Many of them you could work with for a very long time. Or maybe you want to do something just really simple and you set aside 5 minutes each morning to pull a card and write down what that means to you on that day. My point is that ceremony is really healing. It can be really healing. And there are ways to tuck it into our lives, whether it is, you know, really big and elaborate, like I was talking about, you know, maybe you want to dress up and have a huge ritual that's very theatrical, but maybe you want to just keep it simple. And maybe, I think really what I'm posing here is, maybe it's important in time, if you're not doing it already, to consider the value in doing ceremony just for you. Not for everyone else, not for a big group, but what do you need? And how can you turn that into a ritual? Humans have been creating rituals forever to honor different things, to celebrate, to grieve and mourn. They've been doing ritual to acknowledge time and rites of passage. And we get to do that too. We're part of that history. Someday we'll be somebody's ancestor. What rituals will you leave behind for them? So, short one today, friends. I will leave you with this. and hope that perhaps you will create some ceremony for yourself. And actually, I lied. I'm not going to leave you with that because tomorrow is Beltane. So if you catch this today or tomorrow, it is 2024. Beltane is May 1st. Tomorrow, it is a celebration of fertility and abundance of the things that are growing and coming together and creating new life. And maybe there's a little ceremony you'd like to do for yourself in there to honor that amazingness that is you, that fertility that lives within you. What are you growing? What are you creating? How are you feeling playful? And you know, that ceremony could be as simple as putting on a song and dancing around your living room, or going outside first thing in the morning and gathering the dew and washing your face with it, or lighting a fire and leaping over it. Anyway, whatever you decide to do, take good care of yourself. And until next time, keep it magical. Hey, wise ones, if you want to support the work we're doing here on The Witch Next Door, you can like, rate, subscribe, do all the things that you can do on the platform that you like to listen to so that we know you're out there and so that other people know we're out there. We so appreciate you as our listeners, and I can't wait to share more magic with you.
Thank you for joining us on The Witch Next Door. Join us next week as we explore more ways to make every day more magical. Can't wait? Visit wisewomanwitchery.com or follow Wise Woman Witchery on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on all current offerings and be a part of the tribe. All episodes are created by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis. Music written and performed by Jean Cornelius.